This is Brian Kaplowitz, and you're listening to the Speaker Match Radio Series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. This is a live show where we interview top experts in the speaking industry and business to provide emerging speakers with marketing strategies and other business building advice. If you're listening live, you can participate in this call online right now by going to speakermatch.com/radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Brian Kaplowitz, and my guest today is David Newman. David is a nationally acclaimed small business marketing expert who's known for his high-content, high-energy presentations laced with humor, do-it-now tools, and immediately actionable takeaways. He is the author of 8 books on marketing and sales, including Relish for Business, Sales Science, and 21 Secrets of Simple Marketing Success. He is a frequent speaker for national conferences and association meetings of small business owners. David has been speaking, training, and consulting since 1992, and he also spent a year as a meeting planner and conference producer, and there he booked 160-plus events per year. So he knows a little bit about the industry from both sides, and I think that you're going to enjoy our conversation with him today. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be here.
Well, I am very excited that we could have you with us today. My associate, Paul, met you at the National Speakers Association and saw you speak there and thought that you had some great information that would be very interesting to our members, and I'm glad that you are available to share it with us.
And my job is not to prove Paul wrong.
So what we're going to talk about today is actionable steps that people can take to reposition, repackage, and refocus their speaking business to get more bookings, right?
Absolutely. That's what we're here to talk about.
All right. Well, everybody wants to know that. How do they get more bookings, especially in these economic times? Tell us a little bit about why you're an expert in this area and what makes you qualified to speak about this?
Well, it's, as you said in the introduction, I've really seen things from all three sides of the table. I've been a full-time professional speaker, trainer, consultant, all the way since 1992. In March of 2007, I was asked to take on a one-year interim position as a conference producer and meeting planner at a company called Business 21 Publishing. They're based in Springfield, Pennsylvania, right here in the Philadelphia suburbs, and I ran their $2 million audio conference and live conference division, booking, as you mentioned, 160 events a year. Probably 90% of those were audio conferences and webinars, and we also did a series of live conference events throughout the country in topic areas like human resources, finance, safety, and sales. So I got to see the speaking business and a whole lot of professional speakers, experts, consultants, attorneys, authors from the customer's perspective. And what's interesting is spending a year on the inside like that, knowing what I know now, I would not have hired myself as my previous self as a speaker. So I'm hoping that over the course of the next hour, I'm going to get to share with the folks on the call all the stuff that I did wrong so that you can get it right, and that this will help you get hired more easily, more often, and at your full fee in any economy, whether times are good, times are bad. If people are offering value, the buying decision is easy. And then also in my personal experience, since returning to full-time professional speaking in February of 2008, a lot of these strategies I've deployed myself, and they've worked wonders for me. I know they'll work wonders for you.
There's a lot of things that we hear at conferences like the NSA conferences where they talk about the importance of a signature story or branding yourself, maybe creating a label for yourself such as the motivation guy or the get organized lady, whatever it is. Can you talk a little bit about what your feelings are on labeling yourself?
Sure. Well, and also let me address your earlier point, which is we hear a lot of different things at conferences, obviously through Speaker Match. We hear an awful lot of different experts and different opinions through Speaker Match Radio and these great teleseminars that you're doing. So my first piece of advice for the folks listening in is don't believe everything you hear. Certainly don't believe every speaker marketing guru. Don't believe everything you hear from your Toastmasters buddies, your National Speakers Association buddies. There's a lot of conflicting information out there simply because there's probably about 1,000 different business models in the speaking industry. And 500 of them will work for you and 500 of them won't, but the challenge is that you need to decide. You need to really figure out your own strategy. And we're going to talk about a lot of things to think about and a lot of questions and a lot of tips and pointers during this call. But, you know, it sounds kind of strange. I would say don't even take the stuff I'm telling you at face value because guess what? Some of it worked for me. I mean, most of this stuff worked for me personally. That doesn't mean it's going to work in the exact same way for you. So let me get to your question about labeling and branding. I think one of the mistakes that emerging professional speakers make is they try really hard to avoid being labeled. And what I found as a conference producer and a meeting planner, I was in the business of buying labels. So I needed to see a label. I needed to go to your website, for example, and within 2 seconds figure out, is this person a negotiation speaker? Is this person a customer service speaker? Is this a sales speaker? Is this a leadership speaker? So my advice here would be don't be afraid to specialize and focus your business on mastering one topic. This notion of one topic, one expertise is so critically important. If you offer everything to everyone, what I like to say is that you're like an average Chinese restaurant. The menu has a million choices on it, and nothing is particularly good. Now, if you think about your favorite Chinese restaurant, where you walk in, you always order the same thing because it's excellent, that Chinese restaurant stands out in your mind as the place to go. You've probably referred 10 of your friends to that restaurant, told them how great it is, told them exactly what to order. And so my point is, as a speaker, you want to specialize and stick with it. Get known for that one delicious, fabulous dish that people will refer and talk about and build a buzz about. So don't be afraid of labels. Meeting planners really buy labels. You want to label yourself early on in your career and focus on getting all kinds of expertise under that label that's deep rather than broad. The bottom line from a meeting planner perspective is I would look at folks, and if they knew 10 topics or if they listed 10 topics, I knew they were a wannabe. If they listed one topic and many different flavors of it, I knew I was dealing with an expert, and that's the person I'd want to hire.
Now, what do you think about labeling yourself as an expert in different categories but having those branding messages completely separate? So you could have a customer service website with customer service titles and customer service testimonials and customer service everything, and then have a completely different site branding, color scheme, everything for sales, even though you may speak on both things. They may be very closely related titles. What about branding different things that meeting planners will find in different ways?
Well, you know, because I gave that disclaimer of don't listen to anything I say and you'll hear lots of conflicting advice, I can now share my opinions fully and freely on questions like this. What I would say is avoid doing that simply because think about your business card, think about your offline identity. It's great to have 2 websites, 2 value propositions, 2 sets of one-sheets, 2 sets of PDFs, but at the end of the day, you don't know who you are as a speaker. And again, you might say, well, let's say we have a sales website and a customer service website. What's then to stop people from saying, well, I want to have 3 websites, I want to have 4 websites, I want to have 5 websites, and then pretty soon you're just a generalist with, instead of 1 website with 10 topics, you have 10 websites with 1 topic, and your expertise is dissipated just the same way. You want to get known online and offline for really one area of expertise. Now, you can connect closely related topics. The example, Brian, that you picked, customer service and sales, those two naturally go together. What I would avoid is things like construction industry expert and banking industry expert, unless there's some incredibly creative way you can tie those two together. But in my mind, those are two totally separate, totally different things. And we'll talk later about how to niche and what sort of niching you can do by topic, by industry, et cetera. But generally, I'm not a big fan of multiple business cards, multiple business names, multiple websites. It just gets confusing for you, first and foremost, and it certainly will confuse your buyer should they stumble on these other things that you try and have hidden.
It seems like a really good way to get some notoriety in a particular area is to write a book about it. And we hear that also, in addition to PR, writing articles, writing books is a pretty big thing right now. And it's
huge.
So easy to self-publish that, you know, anybody can write a book now. What's your take on writing books?
Well, I'm a big fan of writing books. And again, going back to the premise of this call, which is I did a lot of things wrong, and I can now, with a lot of confidence, tell you how to do it correctly and what I wish I had done. I wrote 8 books. 7 of them were self-published. 1 is professionally published. My challenge is I wrote 8 books on basically 8 different topics. So some of them were closely related, some were not. What I would advise people to do is if you're going to write 8 books, God bless you, go ahead, start with 1. You know, don't plan to write 8 at a time, but start with 1, and then if you write number 2, make it on the same topic. So decision makers like to see books, meeting planners, conference producers like to see at least 1 professionally published book. Again, if I could turn the clock back in my career, self-publishing is great, but you should. What I wish I had done is work much harder, much earlier on getting my professionally published book out there. So whether that means you focus on getting an agent, focus on getting a publisher, work harder at that before falling into the trap, Brian, of what you just said, which is, hey, anyone can publish. Self-publishing is a great way to go. Self-publishing is a great way to go, but be aware that professional publishing equals credibility and self-publishing equals revenue. So I think because credibility leads to revenue, more so than revenue leading to credibility, you want to really work much harder, much earlier on getting that platform of the professionally published book. And then after that comes out, absolutely, go nuts. Self-published books, self-published booklets, pamphlets, audio programs, whatever you'd care to self-publish after that as a profit center and as a revenue stream, that's awesome. But again, wearing my meeting planner hat, I would look for that stamp of external approval saying, hey, if you're good enough for John Wiley and Sons, if you're good enough for McGraw-Hill, guess what? You're good enough for me.
That's interesting. So as a meeting planner, you would look for the publisher of the book, not just that they wrote a book.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's sort of three buckets, isn't there? There's the speakers that have no book. That's in bucket number 1. Speakers that have a self-published book. That's bucket number 2. And then speakers that have a professionally published book, that's bucket number 3. Now, if I had a choice of speakers, and, you know, as a meeting planner, conference producer, I used to have tons of choices of speakers, and now as a speaker, I realize I've got tons of competition, as we all do. The folks in bucket number 3 that have the professionally published book, that's points. I mean, that's points in the hire me column that, you know, it does make a difference. So what I would do is, if you think of it as a hierarchy, I would take the professionally published speaker before I would take the self-published speaker, and I would take the self-published speaker before I took the no product, no book speaker.
Okay. We mentioned a little bit about what should be on a website, that you don't want multiple topics to confuse a meeting planner.
Right.
What else belongs on a speaker's website?
Well, I think one critical piece is articles. Articles are great, video clips are great, audio clips are great, and I'll tell you why specifically from the buyer's perspective. If you write articles with substance, articles that have real meat, that get across some of your main points, meeting planners really need to see a speaker's thinking before hiring them. So if you show your buyer good media articles with lots of specifics, lots of do-it-now tactics, that's going to give you a huge leg up in getting hired, because essentially you've given them a sample. You've given them a taste of what you're going to expose their audience to. Don't be stingy in sharing the ideas that you'll share with their audiences if they hire you. A lot of my speaking clients or clients who are speakers, they say, well, I don't want to put that article out there because, you know, that's my stuff. That's my bread and butter content. That's how I make my living. And so there's this misconception that you want to hoard it, you want to keep it until someone writes you a nice big fat check. Whereas in actual reality, I think what you'll find is all the top speakers, all the really successful folks out there, if you go to their website, you see tons and tons of content, PDFs, free downloads, articles, ebooks, audios, videos, and it's the exact same stuff they speak about from the platform, and that they get paid many, many, many thousands of dollars to speak about from the platform, but it's just given freely because they realize the more they give it away, the more they'll get hired to deliver it in person. And that's just huge that you don't want to be stingy with that stuff. Couple of tips around this. Top professional speakers write articles conversationally. So all you have to do really is write the way that you speak, and it connects much more deeply with your readers. And here's another shortcut. It's a magic word. The magic word is repurpose. So if you have a great keynote speech, that keynote can become the basis of an article. Your articles, if you already have some articles written, can become special reports. You can combine 6 or 8 articles into a special report. Special reports can become audio programs. Simply take those articles in sequence, build in some transitions, get a high-quality microphone, record them right into your PC. There's a saleable audio program. You can even take it further, transcribe that audio program. That can become the rough draft for your book. So repurposing is really magic. Once you've got a solid platform of ideas, the different ways to package and profit from them is really unlimited.
What about some of the other things that we hear about meeting planners looking for? Sample videos, photos, anything like that?
I think videos are critical because, again, video is a sample of what they're buying, you know, what they're paying big dollars for if you come and do their program live. A couple tips with the videos, I'd keep them fairly short, less than 5 minutes, and literally less than 5 minutes. Don't put up a 20-minute video, 30, 60-minute video. No one's going to watch it. Your best 5 to 7 minutes compiled, put out there is great. Also, don't worry about the picture quality. Some people say, oh, well, you know, it's not really up to snuff. The picture quality isn't good. Meeting planners will watch a video that has so-so picture quality as long as the audio is crystal clear. They will not watch professionally produced, beautiful video if the audio is garbled or hard to understand. So do pay attention to the audio quality of your videos that you put out there. Make sure those are bulletproof, and that's going to help get you hired as well.
And do testimonials influence you in any way?
Testimonials do influence. They did influence me back when I was wearing my meeting planner hat, and I think they're very, very important from a marketing standpoint, which is my current work. And there's a couple levels that you want to have. Obviously, testimonial clips, little short clips, little blurbs, attributed to a specific person at a specific company or association, that's great. If you have a full-page letter, scan that in, post those PDFs on your website of real, actual letters on real, actual letterhead, that's level two. Level three would be an audio testimonial that you can record through an audio testimonial line. And obviously level four, if you're at an event and you have a little flip video or any sort of camcorder with you, you can do a video testimonial of audience members of the meeting planner that brought you in and just ask them to give you a quick 30 seconds of how the event went, what kind of value delivered, what kind of problems you helped to solve for their members or their employees, and that video testimonial is also incredibly powerful. So there's 4 testimonial strategies that people can use right away.
I want to remind people that are listening live right now, if you dial 1-1 on your keypad, that will let me know that you have a question, and you'll be able to ask a question live for David David, sometimes speakers struggle with finding a niche. Can you talk a little bit about finding a niche and, you know, what's important for a speaker to know?
You bet. Well, I think the first thing that's very important for speakers to understand is that defining your niche and defining your specific value proposition is incredibly important. And there are several ways that you can define a niche. A lot of people equate the word niche with a topic. So, for example, if you're a sales expert, then sales is your niche. But it goes much deeper than that, and there's many, many ways to slice and dice the niche so that you can really create a speaking business that's unlike any other and offers some unique value. So let's just go through a couple of niching examples. You could niche by topic, certainly. For example, sales or leadership, and that's as far as most people take it. You can also niche by audience. For example, if you specialize in speaking to HR people, specialize in speaking to finance people, specialize in speaking to IT people, you can niche by the audience that you address. You can niche by industry. You can say, I've come out of, let's say, the banking industry. I'm a banking expert, you know, customer service in banking. And you only want to speak to banks and banking associations and vendors and suppliers in the banking industry. You can do the same thing with healthcare. You can do the same thing with any industry that you choose. You can also niche by level. Another way to niche is simply by the level of audience or the level of employee that you speak to. You can say, well, I speak just to senior executives. I speak just to high school students. I speak just to first-time supervisors. That also is a way to niche and slice and dice the market. You can niche by method. You can have the number one 3-day boot camp in your industry or in your topic. You can have the 12-week program that is the premier 12-week program. So the delivery method might be a way that you niche, or even media. You can say, if you niche by media, perhaps you're the person that's known for having the book or the video or the e-zine or having the must-read blog in that industry in that particular area of expertise. Now, if you wanted to combine these, here's where you can really start to separate yourself from the crowd. Let's say you're a customer service speaker. If you say, I'm a customer service speaker, you plant your flag in the ground, you say, that's what I do, that's who I am, that's a great start. That's a great label. It's very viable. People know what it is in 2 seconds. If they need customer service, you're one of the folks that is one of the go-to people. Now, you can also say, I'm a customer service expert in the HVAC industry. Now, that's a double niche because now it's a topic within an industry, and that's much, much better. Now, you can take this really as far as you'd like to go with it. Let's do a deeper one just for an example. Let's say you're a sales speaker. That's level one, good label. Now, let's say you're a sales prospecting speaker, meaning that you specialize in delivering value, speeches, coaching, consulting. All of your value is around the initial part of the sales process, which is prospecting. Two-level niche, sales, prospecting, being a certain angle on the sales. Now let's say you're sales prospecting using the phone, right? So that's a three-level niche because now you're saying it's not in person, it's not by direct mail, it's not anything else. It's sales, number one, it's prospecting, number two, it's by phone, number three. Now let's go to four levels. Sales prospecting using the phone in the financial services industry. So if you're working for a bank, a brokerage house, stocks, bonds, investments, financial services, insurance, whatever it might be, think about how powerful that is. You are now the number one go-to person that is four levels deep. You are the doctor of this sort of thing. You have a PhD, essentially, in sales prospecting using the phone for financial services. You've eliminated 98% of your competition. That's what we talk about by the power of niching.
So it sounds like very specific topics are helpful to meeting planners.
Oh, yeah.
To being
absolutely
helpful to a speaker to get you booked, yeah.
Absolutely. Specific topics will always outpull general topics or general motivation. Basically, I mean, you know, to look at it from a very harsh standpoint, which is where I used to come from when I was paying money for speakers, if you speak to everybody in my mind, you spoke to nobody in particular, and you were a generic, same-o, lame-o kind of speaker, no particular value proposition for no particular audience, and that would be hard for me to sell. Because remember, the meeting planners, conference producers, they're not just there to hire speakers. They're there to put you as a speaker in front of their audience, and many times that audience has paid with money, certainly, or if not with money, absolutely with time to be in that room with you. This is true of corporate speaker, association speaker, any kind of lead that you get off of Speaker Match, for example. People are, even if it's an internal in-house workshop or seminar or conference, people are sitting there, they're spending time listening. This message better be valuable, customized to them, relevant to their situation, their problems, their challenges, very, very specific.
Now, looking at our at Speaker Match from the side of a meeting planner, you actually posted posted opportunities as a meeting planner.
I did indeed.
What worked for you as a meeting planner?
Well, as I just said, being totally generic doesn't work. So looking like, sounding like, and presenting yourself like every other quote-unquote motivational speaker, I think was a recipe for disaster. And I wish I had kept some of these emails, Brian, that I got, because we'd take out the names to protect the innocent. But I would get leads, to come in, responses rather, to my lead that I put out there, with saying things like, everyone needs to hear my message. And as soon as I got an email from Speaker Match that said, everyone needs to hear my message, I would just hit the delete key. It was just like, no, dude, you know what? Everyone doesn't need to hear your message. You need to really pick a lane and focus on offering value to a very specific target market. So here's how a good Speaker Match incoming lead would hit me. Show me who is hungry for your message. Who's hungry for your tools, your strategies, your content? Also, show me who has paid good money for it in the past, and that will help me determine if my audience is willing to pay with their time and their money to see it if I should hire you. And the mistake I see a lot of my clients make is they present meeting planners with topics that they themselves are passionate about. So you'll hear a speaker saying, I am so passionate about this topic. This topic is what I was put on this earth to do. And that's great for you, but it's not smart marketing. Here's what you should focus on as far as passion, the passion component. Present meeting planners and conference producers with topics that meeting planner's audience is going to be passionate about. So make the outreach about audience value, not about your passion and how excited you are about your topic. Well, guess what? Of course you're excited about your topic. That's why it's your topic. From a meeting planner's perspective, and I know it sounds harsh, and I'm sitting now out here with you guys as a speaker, nobody cares about us as a speaker. Nobody cares about us. They care very much about their audience, their needs, the success of their event, their agenda, getting their message out there. If we can plug into that, we'll get hired.
So a speaker needs to think about getting multiple bookings just in order to best build their business. You want to be able to come back as often as possible to a single client. But if you only have one topic, doesn't that make it more difficult?
Well, yes and no. Here's the best-kept secret, I think, in the speaking industry is that meeting planners and conference producers love one-trick ponies. And so here's the strategy for the folks listening in on the call. You do want to have one primary subject matter expertise, but here's the sound bite. Offer depth with variety. So, for example, if you're a project management expert, and that is where you've stuck your flag in the ground, meeting planners would love to see all of the following things on your website or in your one sheet. Project management for CFOs, project management for frontline supervisors, project management for residential builders. So you can go industry specific, you can go role specific. They want to see project management basics, they want to see advanced project management tricks to save time and money, etc. Because here's the piece. Once meeting planners find someone, and I speak from personal experience here, once meeting planners find someone who delivers great content and is easy to work with, they're going to want to bring you back and plug you into all their different audiences. meaning different levels, different industries, different durations. You might be invited to present a one-hour webinar, a 90-minute general session to kick off a conference, a half-day or a full-day post-conference workshop, pre-conference workshop. So having material that fits a variety of formats and a variety of audiences makes you more flexible. And you do want to be invited back by clients that already know you and already love you for a second, third, fourth engagement. So carefully packaging your expertise into a variety of programs, like I just outlined, will serve you really well. Quick example, let's say you spoke at a company's annual conference last year on mastering the art of price negotiations. And if you're some sort of negotiating guru, you know, that's great. That was a huge hit. They're not going to want the same exact program the next year, but you want to be able to go back the following year and say, you know what, let's do a little different spin. Let's do advanced negotiating strategies for purchasing professionals. Same conference, same client, same nice big paycheck, but because you're a negotiating expert, you've sliced and diced this topic for different levels, different industries, different applications, and you will be invited back over and over and over again to share that expertise in different ways and formats.
Once again, I want to remind people that are listening live, if you do have a question for David, just push 1-1 on your keypad, and I will do my best to let you ask your question live. David, speakers have a pretty unique perspective on competition in that speakers very freely share some of their best marketing and presenting ideas with each other. How does that affect you as a meeting planner?
Well, I think the most successful speakers really know the competition, love the competition, and refer the competition. And by competition, I mean other people that speak on similar topics to your own, other people that speak on related topics to your own, and even other speakers that speak on things unrelated to your particular topic or expertise. So my advice here is to become an expert on the experts. So your buyers might come to you after they hire you, even before they hire you, and say, hey, who do you know that does a top-notch program on cold calling? And maybe you're a human resources speaker or you're not involved in sales or cold calling at all, but because they have you on the phone, because they have you at their event, they say, hey, you know what? I have this other program. I'm dying for a speaker. Somebody bailed on us, and I'm sort of stuck here. Can you help me out? Obviously, you want to have your platinum Rolodex ready to go. So buyers love to make one phone call and to you, and you help them get leads on three or four other great speakers on perhaps three or four other great topics. Obviously, that's going to increase your value as a resource. What I tell folks is, you know what, don't be so concerned about making your speech or your program at a conference a success. Focus first on making the conference a success and help the meeting planner or the conference producer or the corporate buyer accomplish their goals. That's the key to getting invited back. So, yes, you want to make sure that you're on top of your game and you've got great stuff to offer, but you also have to have a platinum Rolodex and know other speakers, know other consultants, know other resources that you can tap into and bring in either as partners or on a referral basis or even as subcontractors so you can help solve client problems. Don't focus on giving the speech. Focus on solving client problems. And guess what? The more you start to do this, and build that platinum Rolodex, refer some business out to other people, the speakers that you refer will almost always return the favor. And you'll start to get incoming leads, incoming referrals for you, sometimes in very surprising, generous, and profitable ways. So best way to get started is, you know, look through who else might be on SpeakerMatch, go to the NSA website, go to nsaspeaker.org and use the Find a Speaker feature to search by topic, or you know what, do what your buyers do. Go to Google and type in leadership expert, sales expert, negotiating expert, and see who are the top people in those fields, and you can very quickly build your platinum Rolodex and start to build relationships with some of those folks that will only be helpful in your own career.
A lot of the opportunities that we have on SpeakerMatch are for lower fee or no fee opportunities. And many of our speakers report that they use those opportunities to build their business, even if they generally charge more. They may be willing to speak to an audience for a lower, you know, substantially reduced fee because of the marketing opportunities that it provides. Or if they're an experienced speaker, sometimes you just need an audience to try out new material in front of, because if somebody's paying you $10,000 to speak, you don't want to try out new material on them. It's not going to work.
Right, exactly.
As a meeting planner, does it make a difference to you what kind of fee a speaker has listed? And can you talk a little bit about the low fee opportunities and how those
Well, absolutely. I mean, I used to live in the low fee world, especially for the audio conferences, for the webinars. It would not be unusual for me to take a speaker, an experienced, really wonderful speaker who is used to making five figures for an hour of their time, and I would pay speakers $500 for a one-hour webinar. And some of these speakers were perhaps inside experts, they were attorneys, they were HR consultants. Many of them were authors and speakers full-time. So, you know, I lived in that $500 world. That's where I lived. Now, here's the piece with that, and I'm speaking now from the speaker perspective and the meeting planner perspective. You definitely do not want to equate the marketing value of any opportunity, whether it comes through Speaker Match or not, with a dollar figure. Because I can tell you, when I paid someone $500, the company I worked for had a mailing list of 350,000 names. We sent 10 million emails a month. Every one of those emails, when it promoted an audio conference, had the speaker's name, the speaker's bio, and a live link to their website. Now, let me also map out sort of how we would develop the relationship with some of our speakers that we initially paid $500 to. First of all, if we liked what they did, we would invite them back. If we liked what they did, we would raise their base fee. Not a lot, but maybe $750 or $1,000. If we liked what they did even more, we would revenue share with them. And then that got into some serious money. If we liked them even more than that, we would publish their hard copy products. We would publish their e-learning products. We would publish their books, booklets, materials. So, again, this was an education company. This was a publishing, live seminar, e-learning company. And so you never know. Even associations, you know, associations might have conferences. You might get a no-fee or a low-fee opportunity, but guess what? Associations also have teleseminar series. Associations also have bookstores. Associations also have regional and affiliate events. So don't go in saying, oh, gosh, you know, I got this thing off Speaker Match. It's only $250, or it's only, you know, it's free. You know, there's no fee. I'm not going to do it because I want to be a big-time professional speaker. To this day, I take stuff for free because it's visibility, it's credibility. And, you know, the more you speak, the more you speak. And the full fee stuff will come, but if I trace back the last 10 full fee engagements that I had, and I look, where did those come from? Where did I meet those people? Where did they see me speak? It almost always comes back to a free or a low fee speech that is just amazing. So do that prospect tree, do that client tree, figure out where have you been hired, where did that come from, do the family tree of where your money comes from. You'll be surprised at how often it leads either back to Speaker Match or, in a more general way, back to some low-fee or no-fee opportunity where someone saw you and you blew their heads off and they said, we got to get this guy. We got to get this guy into our company, into our association. So you have to take your ego totally out of that equation, and Speaker Match is a goldmine for stuff like that.
Can you talk a little bit about how you evaluate a speaker's overall packaging?
Yeah, well, packaging is important. A lot of people think it's about your resume, your credibility, your history, whatever, but you know what? People evaluate the package. They evaluate the way the website looks. They evaluate your book cover. They evaluate the email that you send through SpeakerMatch about when you respond to a lead. Packaging really, really counts. So packaging starts with your brand. Your brand can include your company name, your program titles, all of those things. My advice here is don't be clever and be smart instead. Identify your expertise to meeting planners quickly as you can and as clearly. And that can often start with your company name, your company brand. So don't make me guess wearing my meeting planner hat. Don't make me guess. Don't have a company name that says your name and associates, which says nothing. Don't use your initials, consulting. Again, don't be cute. Don't be clever. Overly clever names are really a solution in search of a problem. Let me give you some examples of great names for speaking and training companies. Legal Watch is a training company out there. Safety Priority is a safety training, safety consulting company. Your Part-Time Controller is a finance company, kind of part-time virtual CFO company. There's a website out there, divorcedoneright.com. Again, great name, great label, great brand, simply because they communicate the expertise that the company provides. It's telegraphed. It comes across in 2 seconds. Here's the piece. Organizations do have legal problems. They call a company like Legal Watch that says, these guys can help. Companies do have safety problems. They call Safety Priority. You want to make it real crystal clear in your branding, in your naming, in your titling, what you do and who you do it for. A couple of tips around this. Tip number one, often we're too close to this ourselves to realize, is this a good brand, is this not a good brand. Get some help. Get one of your speaker buddies. Hire someone local to kind of sit with you for a couple hours, work through it. Very, very important. We're often too close to our own businesses to make smart decisions about branding and naming. Number two, the thing after your business name that I would look at from a meeting planner perspective is packaging items like your website, your press kit, your business card, and so forth. A lot of times the design components equals credibility. So there are top speakers even within NSA, even within the National Speakers Association, whose websites make them look like amateurs. And on the flip side of that, there are some amateur speakers, some emerging speakers, that have great websites and that were very credible and very attractive to me as a meeting planner. So you want to make sure that your packaging is credible. Don't do it yourself. Don't pay your cousin Vinny, who has an old copy of Dreamweaver. And don't buy one of those terrible cookie-cutter template sites, but also don't spend $20,000. There's a middle ground, and that middle ground is your sweet spot. That's where you want to be.
We have a couple of questions coming in, and before I get to the questions, Jack, you need to dial 11 on your telephone keypad, not in the web form. Peter has a question for you, David.
Okay.
Peter is from Charleston, South Carolina. And he says that he has about 20 1 to 2 minute video clips that he had done for his blog, which is on a large business website. And he wants to know if that kind of video is the kind of video that a meeting planner wants to see, or if they would prefer a video showing him in front of an audience.
Well, I think my preference would be show the video in front of an audience. Number two is if you don't have that or if it's not of a quality where you're proud of it, the second choice is to do the sort of talking head video where you're just looking into the webcam and so forth. That wouldn't really qualify as a speaker demo video necessarily, but it's better than nothing. And, you know, it's a way to make a personal connection. Those sort of webcam videos are a way to show your personality, show your strengths, show your confidence in front of the camera, even if it's just looking into the camera, you know, delivering 60 or 90 seconds of content, that's better than nothing.
Yeah, it would seem to me that the more of a celebrity you are in any way, the more credibility you have as an expert in any area.
Mm-hmm.
So just the fact that you have 20 videos, you know, that show you as an expert definitely help, and they're better than not having anything.
It certainly beats the guy with zero videos.
That's right.
Totally.
Brenda from San Francisco has a question. She says that she She's interested in speaking at organizations that have little or no budgets, but she would like some ideas for compensation, so something that she can trade. So she said that some things that she's heard about are free are publishing articles on their website, press releases to the media, membership in the organization, meals, travel. What kinds of things do you find work best for speakers?
Sure. Well, she's on to a lot of the good ones. Now, taking off my meeting planner hat and putting on my marketing consulting hat, the other things that you want to be asking for, make sure there's a senior decision maker in the room, some sort of senior executive that you can really blow their socks off and get invited back for higher ticket, higher exposure sorts of things. Perhaps videotaping rights, audio taping rights, bring in a camera crew, bring in a little personal digital recorder, make sure they're okay with that. Asking for, I think the articles strategy is great. I think asking for an opportunity to run some sort of executive session, let's say you're doing something for frontline supervisors, you say, well, I also like if that goes well, and if you like that content, let me do another program for a more senior group. And again, the more you speak, the more you speak. And don't worry about, well, this one's no fee, this one's low fee. Believe me, if they love you and if the content clicks and if your message clicks with them, you will be passed up the food chain. And you will start to get some amazing, incredible things with it. It might take some time, but you're asking for the right things. You're going in the right direction.
Okay. And it looks like there's a little bit of confusion on the asking questions. So just to be clear, some people are typing in 11 at speakermatch.com/radio in the question form. And you're welcome to put questions in there if you'd like me to read them out. If you would like to ask a question live, please dial 11 on your telephone keypad. Okay, David, there are some speakers that are considered to be more motivational speakers, and there are other speakers that are content speakers. They speak on a very specific topic. And
sure,
there's some speakers that are kind of a combination of both, maybe motivational sales speaker. How do you think meeting planners view the difference, and is there a certain type of speaker that tends to get higher compensation or more opportunities, that they're called in for?
Sure. Well, it's a great question. I want to take the discussion maybe away from what kind of speaker are you to what kind of topic are you presenting, because what I found is unless you're really a celebrity, people don't care who you are as a speaker. They care very much about the topic. So when you talk about motivational topics versus content topics, or another way to put this is hard topics versus soft topics, if you're going after a business audience, and I was a business-oriented meeting planner, conference producer, so that's all I did is really business stuff, my preference 95% of the time was for hard topics over soft topics. So here's what I mean by that. Even if you're a motivational speaker, a keynoter, an inspirational speaker, what have you, unless you're already making a great living doing just that, I recommend having at least one hard topic in your arsenal. By that, I mean make it specific, skill-based, include what to do and how to do it, include what to say and how to say it, put in scripts, templates, tools, give them immediate take-home value. What most meeting planners need for business events is really 90% hard topics, maybe only 10% soft topics. Things like, what's an example of a hard topic? Things like question-based selling, things like cold calling strategies, things like cash management for CFOs, things like advanced interviewing skills for HR, things like how to make safety meetings work, the how-to topics, the real meat topics, not about, how to get what you want and how to have, a rainbow-colored life and all this kind of crazy stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, content speakers will always do better if they add a layer of motivation to their content, meaning add a couple inspirational stories, add some humor, add some metaphors, add some anecdotes. Same sort of thing a motivational speaker, you can get hired as a motivational speaker as long as you add a couple of specific nuggets, couple of tools, couple of templates, couple of scripts, couple of strategies they can use the next day. So the trick would be to balance your content with some motivation and balance your motivation with some content. Give people stuff that they want to keep and that they want to use daily by way of actual handouts, worksheets, PDFs, whatever. Naturally, your contact information is going to be on all that good stuff, so they know where to come back to you and tap into more of your expertise.
Okay, we do have a question from somebody in the audience.
Yes, I'm from Portland, Oregon, and my question is, what are some of the hot topics that meeting planners are looking for? I know you kind of covered it, but specific. I know one topic that is really popular among companies, the multi-generational issue.
Sure.
Can you name some others?
Let me give you two more. Absolutely. Great question. And this sounds kind of cynical, but believe me, it'll work for you. You take any topic, I don't care what it is, any topic of any kind, put on the two words, for women. For women. Huge. Same sort of thing. You take any topic in any arena, and then you tag on in any economy, or in a recession, or during a meltdown. Because those two things, certainly the economic conditions that we're in, if you have sales strategies in a downturn, in a meltdown, in a recession, people say, hey, this is relevant, this is what we need, this is what we're suffering with. And then the same sort of thing on the corporate level, the recruiting and retention of high-level executive women is a huge, huge arena. Women are leaving the workforce in droves, and companies are suffering a real brain drain because of it. So topics for women, topics in a recession, you know, I just added $1 million to everyone's bottom line listening to this phone call.
Okay, that is very good advice, and you may not be aware of it if you're a Speaker Match member, but hopefully you are. We have something called premium listings, and you might want to take a look at that in your member center. That allows you to do exactly what David is talking about, so you can create a title that gets meeting planner attention. You can customize the titles you're talking away that they'll find what you have to offer. David, you have mentioned a couple times about investing in the relationship with meeting planners and conference producers. Can you talk a little bit about that and why it's important?
Sure. Well, the first piece is really it's not always about the money. Most good conference producers and meeting planners think of themselves as being in the speaker marketing business, the speaker visibility business, and the speaker credibility business. And I used to work with top speakers, folks that had all the fancy letters after their names, certified speaking professionals, certified management consultants, etc., whom I was thrilled to work with because they saw the value of that ongoing relationship. And I mentioned the kinds of exposure and the kind, you know, the going up the ladder from a $500 speaker all the way through with the revenue sharing, the publishing, the promotion. Basically, I had speakers, and this is the bottom line truth here. I had speakers. I started out paying a one-time fee of $500, and with all those partnering and publishing and revenue share opportunities, they would, in year two or year three, they would walk out with $40,000 of revenue from my company because of all the different ways that we worked with them. So, I mean, that is some serious stuff right there. On the other hand, if as speakers we come into a new relationship, we ask for all that stuff up front, we're not going to get it. So my advice would be, at the beginning of any relationship with a meeting planner or event producer, recognize the marketing and PR value and then let the relationship develop. Do what their audience loves, and believe me, the money will follow. It'll be a lot more than your initial fee that you got through the speaker match opportunity.
So it seems like you're saying that the meeting planner has a good opportunity, or a conference producer has a good opportunity to be a coach for the speaker.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Well, and that's another key piece is be coachable. Because think about it. The buyers that hire you need to live with their audience. They know what their audience is like, respond to, and value. Now, granted, you know your topic and your expertise, but you really have to work with your buyer to customize, tailor, and tweak your message, your talk, your value proposition to their audience. Because you know why? Even a small miscalculation on your part makes you look out of touch with the audience's reality. I'll give you a real simple example. There are companies out there that have clients, and there are companies out there that have customers. If you walk into like a True Value Hardware national conference, they have customers. If you use the word client once in your speech, you're going to get a lot of Scooby-Doos in the audience going, And it'll just sound wrong. It'll be like, well, where'd this guy come from? We don't have clients. We have customers. We have retail stores. We do transactions. We have sales. We're retail. We don't have clients. We have customers. So even little stuff like that, little trivial, goofy stuff can throw you off track. So let the buyer, let the meeting planner help you navigate making the connection between your expertise and their audience needs. So be coachable. Take their coaching. Take their advice. Listen to what they're saying. Help them make you successful in front of their audiences.
Well, David, we are just about out of time. Before I do let you go, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us?
There is, and I want to help folks make these concepts really stick. So I have a special offer, and Brian and I have sort of hatched this plan together, so this is partly courtesy of Speaker Match. I have a special offer for everyone listening in on this call, whether you're with us live or listening to the archived copy. I have a full $47 product out there on the web. It's at www.helpmehireyou.com. This contains 21 specific speaker marketing strategies, some of which we talked about, a professionally recorded audio program, the full PowerPoint deck that goes with this program, and a complete transcript with every tip, every web resource listed out in detail. It's helpmehireyou.com, but you know what? Don't go there. Don't buy it, because courtesy of Speaker Match and courtesy of me, you're getting it absolutely free. So here's how to take advantage of this offer. Send me an email. My email address is david@unconsulting.com. That's D-A-V-I-D, david@unconsulting.com. With the subject line, Speaker Match Gift, and I'll send it to you absolutely free. I'll also invite you to my Small Business Marketing Center that's filled with more free marketing and business growth resources. And my parting words of wisdom are simply put yourself in the buyer's shoes and ask yourself if you would hire you. And think like a corporate executive, think like a conference programs chair, and then do everything you can to be the speaker that you yourself would be thrilled to hire.
Thank you very much for joining us today, and that is a very generous offer. I will be sure that we put information about that on our website. So if you are listening right now and you didn't have a chance to write down anything, we'll make sure that we get that up at speakermatch.com/radio. Thank you for joining us today, and we will talk again soon.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the Speaker Match radio series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. Speaker Match is the leading provider of tools and services for emerging professional speakers. You can find more information about Speaker Match at www.speakermatch.com. Our toll-free number, if you prefer to reach us by phone, is 1-866-372-8768. International callers can reach us at area code 512-372-8768. Thank you again for listening, and we wish you the best in your speaking career.